Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Morning, Key. Morning,
Harry.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's happening,
fellas? Key High, Chi-Town, my man.
Yeah, how's it going out there?
It's cool. It was good. The weather was nice. It was a little nippy when we got by the stadium, but for the most part, it's been good. It's been all right. The cool. 2 days that I've been here so far.
You got to take in an all-time classic. Oh, boy, that was an ugly game, huh?
What a hell of a game.
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever been in a new stadium, and it's been there 20 years, but the first time I've ever been there.
So it's new to you.
I thought the stadium was cool, though, actually, to be honest with you. It has a very unique architectural kind of feel. I'm sure you played in that stadium, Harry, the new stadium. But it's just interesting to be able to see how they fit the new stadium inside the old stadium, you know, because I guess it was around 100 years, the old stadium, yeah. So it's a historical monument. And it was interesting to learn sitting in the box with some of the Chicago Bear people, you know, and some of the ESPN people to learn about the stadium and learn about where they may go and all why and all the different stuff. Have the real deep political corporate conversations, and I had to put on my corporate voice, you know, and be.
Let me hear the corporate voice.
Yes, that is correct.
Well, it's the laugh after.
So you guys are going to out to the suburbs and acquiring some land, I see. You know, I had to hold. You know, you just not. You know, you not.
Oh, yeah. How do you do
small
talk?
You know, the only thing I never liked
it was
about
fine,
that stadium,
man.
Though? It was like the grass. Uh-huh. Like, you couldn't wear, like, your molded cleats. You had to wear, like, the screw-ins.
Oh, so, I hated
see,
that
I
when
always
that happened.
Wore, but I always wore seven studs, though.
Oh, I didn't know that, Key.
Yeah, I always seven studs. I speed TDs was too flimsy
for... Oh, yeah, fast guys. My bad, Key.
No. But, see, it had nothing to do with being fast. That's psychological in your mind, you know? That's psychological in your mind. You should be able, I should be able to play with tennis shoes on, like I did at times on turf. I play with tennis shoes sometimes on field turf. It just depends on what surface you have, you little smart ass.
You know the dude who invented tennis shoes played on Key's 7-on-7 team, Harry. I don't know if you were aware of that. Hey, listen, guys, that was, you know what's crazy about last night? As ugly as it was and everything, you realize that in the end of the day, Justin Fields... Two times. You could talk about the fact that they were inside the five and came away with 0 points three times. Three times the game is unacceptable and they got to get better, blah, 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 blah. Twice at the end of the game, with the game on the line, a touchdown wins it. Justin Fields put the ball in the receiver's hands. Two times. One of them holds on to it. One of those catches is held on to, and you get your feet in. They weren't the easiest plays in the world, but they are makeable plays.
You got to make them.
And we're talking today about the fact.
What makes you think they wasn't easy, Max?
Listen, let me tell you what it looks like to me. If you're by the,
hey, look at Keith taking shots early this morning.
If you're by,
I just want to know what makes Max.
If the space in the end zone is running out and you got a defender on you, to me that is hard. Right? It's happening.
In other words, he's trying to say, Max, give me a time where you experienced that catch.
Well, I didn't say it was easy. I said it didn't look easy.
No, he didn't say it was easy. No,
did it look easy to you?
I think it wasn't. Man, any time it's in your catch radius and you put your hand,
you're
on
responsible for it.
You got to catch it.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Not just in your catch radius, but literally hit them in both hands, right? It was in their hands. But the point is, if either catch is held on to, guys, you know what we're talking about this morning? Not any of the ugliness. We're talking about somehow, some way, Justin Fields has brought this team to 3-3, to a 500 record after 6 weeks. Week six in the NFL a nothing team, he brought them to 6-6. Yeah. That's what the story would be today, guys.
Being there and watching it, you get a different view. And I always go to the what ifs. This could have happened, but it didn't. Okay, da da da. Justin Fields at the end of the game put the ball on the ground and became a running back. Now, I could always look at it at the game and say, if he'd have put the foot back in at the end, put his left foot in the ground and retraced to the right, he could have walked into the end zone. But I'm looking at it, or if I'd have said if he'd have lowered his shoulder, he probably could have got into the end zone. He was out there at the 5-yard line. The play selection, in my opinion, in the last drive at the end of the game was one of the worst play selections that you could have in that situation. You know, whoever's calling the plays and whoever making those decisions, in my opinion, didn't put him in the best.
What was so bad about them, Key?
Well, first of all, you didn't run the ball at all.
Yeah.
You threw it four straight times. That's to start with. Okay? Not only that, you give no back shoulder fades. You didn't give no quick game. The flat pass to Mooney, that's a hard throw. That throw is hard because it has to be, the trajectory on it has to be such that you putting it out in front of him and not slightly behind him, making him turn around. It's a hard throw for whoever the quarterback is in that situation. So, look, it hit his hands. He bobbled it twice. Therefore, it didn't land into the end zone. It allowed the defensive back to, once he bobbled it, allowed the defensive back to close on it, and then it fell out and he hit the ground. But I think when you look at it, that just goes to show you, first down, I'm throwing a fade to Equanimeous St. Brown, okay? And he's got to go up and get it. But clearly, he's not the guy that they felt could do it. They don't have that guy on the roster. So when you're looking at the roster and you're looking at some of the players, you're like, well, okay, I see why they're not doing it. They don't have anything. They got one guy in Mooney, and he's a 2B guy at the position. He's not a 2A. He's not a 1. He's a 2B. So essentially, he's your third guy that needs to get bumped to a 2. If something happens to your 2, he can never be your true 1.
Well, Key, I'll say this, and we can point to all the plays at the end of the game in that series, but to me, it's what happens throughout the game. Where you go 0-for-3 in a red zone, and you don't even get 9 points at worst for those 3 trips. You get 0 yeah. points in the red zone. And you had the ball 3 separate times at the 5-yard line and in a tight red zone to go in and score. That's the deflating part about it all. And then you had a rookie receiver who muffed a punt and gave the Washington Commanders an opportunity to go down and score a touchdown. You look at all these things. You look at the sacks that they gave up. And I will say, one of those times that they did have a ball in a tight red zone, Justin Fields missed a throw to a wide open guy. Mm-hmm. He can't miss that throw.
He has no margin for error. That's the problem. He's a rookie with zero margin for error.
About, Harry?
Given what they have,
you talking about the one? You talking about the one to the tight end?
Yeah, yeah. You gotta make that.
See, you seeing it on television. I'm seeing it live, right?
Mm-hmm.
The tight end was running like he had gravy boots on. He act like he didn't know how to get to the. You know what you're supposed to do, Harry? Drop your head. You understand flight of the ball.
And dig.
Dig. Moment, yep. It, flight, dig, go. He did not. He running like he. I was like, he ain't going to never get to the football. I sat there and told Shannon and them and my man, I'm like, he ain't going to never catch that. Look how he running. He's running scared. He's all tight running. And like, drop your head, man. Dig into the football. Dig into the football, drop your head, dig into the football, pump your – look at it. Look at the shoulders. The
yeah,
shoulders
100%
is turned
right.
back. Your shoulders cannot be turned back at the quarterback. You're never going – your momentum is going to slow down. That's all I'm saying.
I mean,
Harry,
it's like you play baseball, like the ball's hit over your head in center field. You turn around, drop your head, take 3 steps, then look over your shoulder, right? Like there's
– Well, it's just like on post routes. Like
Harry,
in the field – You're supposed to dig for about 5 to 8 yards and then look up. Don't look back at the quarterback because he don't have it. You got to look up in the sky, track it, and find it.
You know, Harry.
But he is a tight end now.
Shoulders.
It's a tight end.
I get that. I understand that, but I'm not watching Travis Kelce do that. He's a tight end. I'm not watching George Kittle do that. He's a tight end.
All right. Here's,
look who he named.
Here's the bottom line.
But my whole point of naming that, though, is that's what he's working with. He's not working with much.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the bottom line.
He had a deficiency, trust me, because he don't have the players.
Justin Fields very nearly led a team with nothing on it to 3-3 after 6 weeks, but they're 2-4. And the reason for that, you can talk about muffed punt, guys dropping balls. You know what Carson Wentz didn't do last night?
Oh, my God. We're going to get on him.
But he didn't turn it over. How many times we talk about that? He didn't turn it over, and they won the game. He's now 7-0 on Thursday nights, Carson Wentz.
Don't make me throw up.
Be a part of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper and college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So, guys, is the AFC a two-team race between Buffalo and Kansas City?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Key, last time Harry was in for you, I'm pretty sure, and there was the elevator was broken in the hotel or something, and he wound up climbing 20 flights of stairs. 20 flights of stairs in the hotel. And now what happened this time, Harry?
It's like the first quarter of the game. I ordered some Uber Eats, some Wingstop. I go downstairs. I say, you know, let me hurry up and go downstairs because the guy almost here and get my food. I get on the elevator.
They can't come up to you.
Yeah, because you need the key to get up to the room.
Right.
I get on the elevator.
Fancy.
And it starts making this weird noise. So I look at the numbers and all the numbers start flashing. So I'm like, oh, hell no.
What time is it at this
point?
This
is like 9 p.m. 9:02 to be
get
exact.
To the room, put the game
so
on.
So I'm trying to hit the button so I can get out.
Yeah.
And it's closed, but it's a little small portion of it that's open. And so I'm starting to, I go to ringing the bell. I'm trying to call downstairs. Nobody's answering. But I can text on my phone and tweet, but I can't call anybody. So I text my wife, hey, call the front desk, tell them I'm stuck. So I'm screaming, help, help. I'm yelling, help. So finally somebody came out their room, and I was like, listen, go downstairs and tell them I'm stuck on the elevator. I was stuck on the elevator for about 22, 23 minutes. It was hot as hell. I had to lay down just to keep myself calm, but I'm glad I didn't panic, and I'm glad I wasn't on the elevator with anyone else because they would have annoyed me.
Mm. That's
were you scared?
I'm not going to lie, though. It's the unknown of being on the 20th floor.
But at least you were on a floor. You weren't stuck between floors, right? Because
that
could happen, too.
But that's what I was worried about. The elevator just going down.
Yeah.
I'm pretty high up.
Yeah, because when you're a kid, you think, even if it goes down, I'll jump up at the last second. That's not going to work.
No.
That's not going to work. Even though I still think somehow it will. Yeah.
Some of the weirdest things could happen. I could what up you on that one. I was stuck in the elevator for about three and a half, 4 hours before. So my condo in L.A. years ago, it was a new building, brand new building, built it, the whole deal. Get on the elevator, stuck on the elevator. So the company that built the elevator was down in Orange County. So they're the only people that could come and do what they need to do. So clearly it was doing rush hour traffic, the whole deal. I had to sit there, man. I don't know where we were. I don't know if I was stuck in between. I don't know what floor I was on. And I had to sit there on the floor for about 4 hours waiting on the damn people to come and let me out. But nothing I could do.
Key, I was screaming. Help! To the point that somebody came out their room.
Why didn't you call the front desk?
Because I hit the call button on the elevator.
No, on your phone.
It wouldn't let me dial out. It only let me text and I could tweet. So I was texting and tweeting, but then I didn't want nobody to know where I was staying. So I was just like, baby, call the front desk and tell them they got to come get me.
You've been watching too much Die Hard.
We're back in 10 seconds.
Elevators fall.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Click on the app, lower right-hand corner, click on more. Scroll down to listen live, and you could hear Harry Douglas singing right now.
I can't live without your love.
All right. Is the AFC, by the way, we're presented by Progressive Insurance.
112 close.
Is the AFC a two-team race between Buffalo and Kansas City? Now, it's not as epic as that game was in last year's playoffs. That wasn't the AFC championship game. So that suggests that it's not a two-team race, right? On the other hand, if you asked me who are the two best teams in the AFC right now, I'd say the Chiefs and the Bills. In whatever order you want to put them. So, Key, let me start with you. Is the AFC a two-team race?
No, I don't think it's a two-team race. I think it's probably a five-team race. But two teams are ahead of the pack, which is the Bills and the Chiefs. But then you got the Ravens that's sitting there. I'm not going to discount the Chargers because I think it's the Chargers coach. And it all factors in. And Staley's going to continue to get heat, especially from me, as he continue to make some decisions that are head-scratching. And then I also count in the Browns and the Bengals in there. So that's like a 5-6-team race that I believe in the end you're going to see these 5-6 teams hovering around.
So, Harry, I get Ravens. I by the way, I say the answer is no also because I just had a feeling all offseason about Lamar this year.
Yep.
Based on how he played last year with what was around him, the health of the team, his own health, now his contract status, everything, and the trajectory of his career, I still am taking the Ravens to win the Super Bowl this year. If you make me pick one team, I'll take them. So there's one. The Bengals were in the AFC Championship game.
Yep.
We're in the Super Bowl. Last year came one play away from winning it. And the Chargers, they have Justin Herbert. With the left tackle out, that's a lot, but maybe they could figure things out. But it's interesting. Key also brings up the Browns. And if Brissett can keep them treading water, Deshaun Watson, whatever, the implications of his coming back are outside of the scope of the gridiron, the fact is he's going to come back.
Yeah.
And if their record puts it within striking distance, you now add an elite quarterback to the Browns. Are those the teams you think? Are there any ones that we're missing? Do you agree with those teams?
No, I agree with all those teams, and ironically, all those teams have quarterbacks, right? You talk about the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to talk about some of their deficiencies and things that could possibly hold them back. You talk about their defense. Last time we seen them, they were actually good against the Cincinnati Bengals, but you gotta think about that Dolphins game, that Bills game, how they had those letdowns in the second half, offensively and defensively. When you talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, early in the year, what plagued them? The offensive line, giving up 13 sacks in two games. Now, they've been decent of late, but can that group play in unison and not do what they did last year? They gave up 9 sacks in the playoff game. Granted, they won it. I don't think they can have that makeup this year and still have the success that they had last year. So they have to continue to get better. Then you look at the Chargers. The thing that's plaguing the Chargers is health. You're talking about Rashawn Slater not being there. Joey Bosa, he's out until he can return. Keenan Allen, can he remain healthy? I actually like the Chargers because on paper, the Chargers are so damn good, they just have to go out there and put it on the field. And Brandon Staley is actually a guy, and it happened last year, that can hold this team back. And I'm hoping that's not the case this year, though, Max. Mm. And I forgot the Browns. The Browns just can't lose games they're supposed to win. You're playing the New England Patriots this weekend, and like Keith say, don't let Dr. Z, you know, get the best of you, because if you lose a game like this, I'm going to be squinting my eyes a little bit.
Patriots just blanked the Patriots just blanked. What's impressive to me is the Belichick defense just blanked a team whose offense had looked good until then. Blanked them. Like, that's, it's not that they won. They won by a wide margin. They didn't give up a single point.
The run game has been very efficient for New England like it was last year. That's one of the reasons they're having success, plus that defense.
So, Key,
I want y'all to use that. I want y'all to use that recipe now moving forward. You run the football.
Yep.
You play defense. And you've got a Dr. Z that can just do the things that you need him to do.
Complimentary football. Complimentary football. The defense and the run game go together. A quarterback takes care of the ball. It all goes together, right?
But the reason why it's so important to have a quarterback, though, is because you look at a Patrick Mahomes and a Josh Allen. You got to be able to go toe-to-toe. If all the wheels fall off, you have to be able to go toe-to-toe with those two guys. If you don't have a quarterback to do that, you don't stand a chance.
Have we seen Harry, and correct me, I could be totally wrong because I've watched a lot of football for a long time. Mm-hmm. Have we seen Josh Allen or even Patrick Mahomes, for that matter, dominate a top defense? I'm not talking about a defense that we think is good and got some, but have we seen them? I'm talking about one of those Baltimore Ravens, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, L.A. Ram, top-notch defenses.
Well, just takes them to the woods. Been any of that.
Well, the Bills last year was a
it
top
hasn't
defense.
Been any?
The not Bills? Like that. Huh? Not like the Tampa defense or the Baltimore defense from back in the day.
But how many
how
many teams are constructed like that, though, nowadays?
No, right, I'm asking a legit question.
But the Bills last year,
the Bills last year was the top
defense.
They
had all three levels. They had the secondary. They had the front seven. The Bills are a good example, and Patrick Mahomes cut him up.
Still found a way.
Patrick Mahomes cut. So the Bills' defense was the top defense in the league. But were they a Super Bowl defense? I guess is the question I'm asking. I guess that's the question. We could talk about that in our break.
Yeah. There are no defenses like the old Ravens or the old Tampa defense around today. By the way, you can help people affected by Hurricane Ian. Donate at redcross.org/ESPN to help the Red Cross prepare for, respond to, and help people recover from this disaster. Your donation enables the Red Cross to prepare for, respond, and help people, and it'll provide people and communities affected by this devastating storm with food, shelter, relief supplies, recovery planning support, and other assistance. More KJM coming up.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Four Downs is brought to you by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways you could save.
First down, Jets at Packers.
Jets at Packers, first down. We're going to go through four downs here. The spread is Green Bay -7 and a hook. The money line, the New York Jets +275. Green Bay on the money line -350. The over-under on this game is 45 and a hook. FPI says the Packers have the chance of winning at 83.1%. Now, look. For them to be able to do this, Aaron Rodgers has got to raise up his QBR. His QBR right now is 44.6 through the first five games of the season. This is the lowest total in his entire career through the first five games. Zach Wilson, 67% completion percentage against the Miami Dolphins last week, doesn't mean he's going to duplicate this against the Green Bay Packers. I think Green Bay wins the game. These young receivers come to the party against that young secondary in New York.
Harry, how concerned are you with the Packers offense?
I'm concerned, especially when you have a guy named A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, the strength of your offense right now. And I understand A-Rod is A-Rod, but A.J. Dillon cannot get, you know, six carries in a game against the Giants that he had last week. I'm pretty sure Aaron Jones needs more than 13 carries. Understand where your bread and butter is and get these two guys to football.
I actually think it was the perfect game plan against my Giants. Now they can change it all they want now. What else we got?
Second down. Ravens at Giants.
Ravens, Giants, the spread is Baltimore minus 6. The money line, Baltimore minus 275. The New York Giants plus 215. The over-under on this game is 45. And FPI says the Ravens, 65.7% chance of winning. Here's Baltimore, 2-0 on the road this season. Haven't started 3-0 on the road since 2020 when they started 4-0. That is a plus. They go up against the Giants and Saquon Barkley. We know what Saquon Barkley can do on the ground. Can Daniel Jones, with that ankle, get a little bit better after beating up on the Green Bay Packers in London, come to the party at the quarterback position? I'm not worried about Saquon Barkley as much as I am. Can Daniel Jones continue to show that he belongs in New York and not pushed out?
So how does Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale factor into this game, Harry?
Well, he was the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens from 2018 to 2021. So he understands everything about that offense. He understands everything about Lamar Jackson. The flip side of that, they understand everything about him as well. The thing I'm worried about the Giants is that they just played a game over in London. And typically you have, you know, a bye week after you leave, after you come back from there. They don't. And the Baltimore Ravens didn't go over to London. So I am concerned about those things.
Let me tell you what I'm concerned about in this game, all right? What I want to start to see, when the Giants traded out of, I think it was the 9th slot, right, or the 10th slot when the Bears took Justin Fields, what was the 10th slot? When that happened, what they essentially did is they sent Micah Parsons to Dallas. They could have grabbed Parsons. They decided they wanted an extra draft, first-round draft pick. I get why, because they'd done a terrible job at building the team. They needed more people. So that draft pick really, because they were going to draft a lineman, no matter what, Evan Neal or someone else, they had to draft an offensive tackle. So that draft pick turns into Kayvon Thibodeau, really. Kayvon Thibodeau's going to have to start balling out because I see what Micah Parsons is doing, right? He could have been a Giant. We still would have had the offensive lineman. No, we have him instead of Parsons. Now, that's a very high standard to live up to. He doesn't have to be Micah Parsons, but key, he's going to have to start really getting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks for the Giants to be more than just a little bit ahead of schedule by the end of the year, it seems to me.
Yeah, and look, he's a young player, and I think over time he'll continue to get better. But if they still play as a unit, as a team on the defensive side of the ball, something that they've been able to do under Wink, I think they'll be okay. I like the Giants' chances of making the playoffs this year. I think that they have something cooking, and whenever you have something cooking, it's something that just continues to keep going. I don't see them falling off the cliff anytime soon.
But, Key, really quick, tell people about how when you go overseas and play a game, how that has an effect on people.
Yeah, right. They got to come back and play.
Oh, yeah. When you get back, it's like anything, whether you're playing a game or you're just traveling with your family, the jet lag and the time difference and the change, or have you sleeping in the middle of the day. Now, they've been back since then, so they probably are back accustomed to the time zone here in the U.S., so I don't know if that'll really play a strong portion of the game, but certainly I bet you it affected their practices throughout the week.
Yeah, I wonder also, like, how you're trying to have to scheme up and keep up with Lamar Jackson. That's not easy under any circumstance. But if your practice schedule is off and everything, that can't help. You think Wink is the difference in the game, Harry? You think, or are you just saying it gives the Giants a puncher's chance?
It gives them a puncher's chance because he's been within that Ravens organization and knows the offense left and right.
All right, let's get to the two biggest games of the weekend.
Third down, Bills at Chiefs.
Well, this is a nice little afternoon slate on Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. You got the Bills and the Chiefs. The spread, Buffalo, minus 2.5. The money line, Buffalo is minus 140 and Kansas City plus 118. The over-under on this particular game is 54, with FPI saying that the Chiefs had a 59.9% chance of winning. The Bills, fourth consecutive season starting at 4-1, longest streak winning at least four of the first five games since 1990 and through 93. Went to the Super Bowl each of those seasons. But here's what I would say. Josh Allen in Buffalo, 1-3 in his career versus the Chiefs, including the playoffs, his second most losing against any team other than the New England Patriots, of course. His only win versus Kansas City was last season in week 5. Now flip to the Chiefs side of things. The Chiefs at home. You talk about home field advantage. Get this, guys. The Chiefs have won 8 straight regular season games at home. I just mentioned it. The last time they lost was against the Bills in week 5. Now you want to talk about the way that they play and the style in which they play. Travis Kelce is the leader on this team with 6 touchdowns in the last 3 games. 4 versus the Raiders, as we saw last week, which is already rates as his most in any 4-game span of his career. He scored a touchdown in 4 straight against the Bills. 6 total in those games against the Bills.
Harry, which quarterback has the edge here, do you think?
I'm going to go with Josh Allen because he has the better team and the better, I think, the better skill position players around him.
He's facing the lesser defense, too.
Yeah, the funny thing about this is that the 4 times these teams have played the last 2 years, Stephon Diggs, as much as man covers that Steve Spagnuolo likes to play, has not had over 77 yards in that game. And that's ironic. It's just crazy when I looked it up. The flip side of it, when you look at Patrick Mahomes, I know the Buffalo Bills are going to say, you know what, we're going to make him methodically work this football down the football field to try to score. Be patient. And if I'm Steve Spagnuolo, I'm switching some things up defensively too. I'm making Josh Allen take checkdowns. I'm not giving him that home run play and allow him to beat me with big plays like that.
Yeah, I got to say something. Patrick Mahomes is the underdog at home for the first time in his career. He's in the middle of his 5th season starting, has never been a home dog. Mm. And, you know, like the way Mike Trout came into baseball, he was the best player ever at his age, basically, or certainly one of the 2 or 3. And then every year after that, if you looked at his age, where he ranked in history, he had one of the best seasons ever for a player that age. And if once you get to a certain age, you say, well, that's the best player ever, right? Patrick Mahomes has the kind of success that early in his career that only Tom Brady's had, right? But Tom Brady wasn't doing what Mahomes was doing early, nope. Right? Okay, the only guy who was kind of doing what Mahomes was doing early was, say, maybe someone like Dan Marino, where you're like, damn, he starts out like that? But Marino didn't have Mahomes' level of success.
Yep.
So far in his career, at this point in his career, he's the greatest player of all time. I'm not saying he's already the GOAT. I'm saying at this stage in his career, he has been better and greater than anyone else who's gotten to this stage of their career so far. And it's underscored by the fact that he's a home dog for the first time. And we don't even know if he's going to actually be a dog just right now for the first. That's 41 home games without ever being the underdog.
Well, I will say this, Max. You look at that Kansas City Chiefs team, and I played against that team my last few years when I was in Tennessee, and that's when Alex Smith was the quarterback. Alex Smith leaves that team, and then Patrick Mahomes takes over. They go to the AFC Championship game. And if it wasn't for somebody jumping off sides, they go to a Super Bowl. The following year, what did they do? Is that the year I think Patrick Mahomes threw 50 touchdowns?
He called his own – no, 50 and 50 touchdowns his first year MVP.
He won the Super Bowl the next year.
The next year was when he calls his own – a 13-step drop and throws it all the way down the field to Tyreek Hill to win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it's bananas what he's doing. So, like, when Key points out, like, Josh Allen has to check a lot of boxes before he's actually comparable to Mahomes. Win an MVP, win a Super Bowl MVP, beat Mahomes.
Yep.
Well, he beat him in the regular season once so far.
When
he could
counts.
Do it again this weekend.
Regular season. I mean, playoffs, that's when it counts. That's the dark cloud that's hanging over Josh Allen right now, because AFC Championship game 2 years ago, Patrick Mahomes got the best of him.
Yep.
Division around last year, Patrick Mahomes got the last laugh. Even though Josh Allen put up a stellar performance, that's the dark cloud right now.
Do you remember the cameras when they went to Josh Allen and they were all feeling good on the Buffalo sideline with 13 seconds left? And all I'm thinking is,
celebrating a little bit too early, buddy.
13 seconds, guys. Calm down. All right. What else?
Fourth down. Cowboys at Eagles.
This is the Sunday night slate. The last game on Sunday, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time. The spread says Philadelphia -6. The money line says Dallas +215. Philadelphia -267 on the money line, with the over under being 42. I wonder who get most of those points on the offensive side of the ball. Will it be Dallas or will it be Philadelphia? FPI Eagles say 75.3% chance of winning this football game. Here's the issues that we have going forward. Jalen Hurts won 8 straight starts, the longest by an Eagles quarterback since Carson Wentz won 9 straight back in 2017, which they went to the Super Bowl, obviously. Jalen Hurts, Philadelphia, 0-2 in his career against the Dallas Cowboys. That's not a good sign for them. And then on top of that, the Dallas Cowboys have won 8 straight divisional games, the longest active streak in the NFL, having won 9 straight in the division since 1998-99 when they won 10 straight But here's the key for everybody. The Cooper Rush, looking to become the first quarterback to start 6-0, Max, in his career since Patrick Mahomes in 2018, would be the 11th quarterback to debut in the Super Bowl era to win each of his first six starts in the National Football League. And Michael Parsons, 19 career sacks in 21 games. That's almost a sack a game if I'm doing the math right. Okay? He got six this season.
Not all he does either.
Joey Bosa, 21 games. And Reggie White, the great Reggie White, the Hall of Famer Reggie White, did it in 22 games.
Why'd you say Joey Bosa like that?
Man, we got our, you know, we have our reasons. Reached 20 career sacks is a few games. Sacks become the official sack total in 1982.
So, Harry, how much is riding on this game for Jalen Hurts?
I think a lot, because you're going against a guy in Cooper Rush. It's not like you're going up against Dak Prescott. So, number one, I don't think you can lose to a guy.
No, Rush is undefeated. Prescott's not undefeated.
But I don't think you can lose to a guy like Cooper Rush. You know what I'm saying? I think that's going to sit, like, wrong in a lot of people's mind. You look at their Dallas defense and how elite they are. You go out there and ball against them. A guy like Mark Jackson, who calls NBA games, going to be sitting at home watching Sunday Night Football saying, "Mama, there goes that man." And I'm a damn sure tweet it. I can't wait to see Jalen Hurts ball out in this one. So I can tweet, "Mama, there goes that man."
You want to know something? I think this game is all upside for Hurts. If they lose, look, the offensive line is missing pieces.
Yeah.
Mailata is a beast. He had a bad first game this year, but since then was trending the way he was last year as maybe eventually the best tackle in the game. He's certainly up there, right? Jason Kelce, one of the best interior linemen in the game. They were missing three starters off the offensive line. That's the worst possible problem you could have in a matchup with the Cowboys.
Yes, it
right?
is.
So if he loses, okay, we understand you can't win every game. There are circumstances. If he wins, given what I just said, it elevates him. So it's important for him, but to me, it's all upside. And, Key, you know who looks best to me behind all this stuff with the Eagles right now?
No, you're going to tell me who looks best.
It's Howie Roseman. Roseman takes over as GM about 10, 12 years ago, whatever, builds them up to a Super Bowl team. They win the Super Bowl, tears the whole thing down with a new quarterback and a new coach. And they're right back in the driver's seat, it seems to me, in the division. That's a hell of executive president, whatever
you know. Right. When you're living right, great things like that happen for you.
That's a hell of a job by Howie.
You know, man, I'm sitting here and I'm watching highlights, Jalen Hurts run around and stuff like that. I'm changing my thoughts. I got to change my thoughts. I'm watching him run around and do his thing. I'm like, yeah, I may not want to. I don't know if I want to roll with Dallas. Mm-hmm. I think I might have to just roll with Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts. I mean, it just looked right.
You might as well. You had his jersey on the other day. You supporting him, representing him.
But representing him and supporting him.
Yeah.
But when I start seeing everything else, I'm like, even though they booed Santa Claus, I
know what the key is to
we're gonna
me.
Pick it. Key? We're going to pick it.
Go.
We're going to pick it, and then I'll figure it out.
Know what the key is to me that they did really to put him over the top was A.J. Brown. A.J.
100%.
Brown's presence on the field. When looking at this dude, how did they let him walk out the door? A.J. Brown, big, strong. When you say, what does a number one receiver look like? To me, that's it. And I know Devontae Smith and everything, but the presence of A.J. Brown makes you think of that whole team differently.
But let me tell you why it's important, though, Max.
I don't know why Tennessee allowed him to walk out.
They're
that
crazy.
Didn't make a whole lot
there
of
were
sense.
Times that I would watch their games last year, and Jalen Hurts would try to throw jump balls to the guys that he did have.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of small body type wide receivers. Now you have a guy in A.J. Brown. We call it 100-100 balls. You can just throw it to him. No matter where the ball is, they're going to catch it. If a guy's draped on his body, he's strong enough to get it, and he's fast enough to take it to the crib. So.
I don't know what a number one receiver looks like. I mean, Jalen Hurts. We'll try to get in the zone. Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. And we are joined now by our friend Rob Ninkovich, ESPN NFL analyst. Morning, Rob.
What up, guys? How we doing?
Nick,
doing
we were just
What's happening, sir?
We were just talking about, you know, what the Cowboys need to do to beat the Eagles in Philly on Sunday night. What do they need to do?
They need to run the ball. That's what they need to do. They need to control time of possession, take care of the football, if you look at just generally the last four games that they've played well in, they've been able to control time of possession, run the football, take care of the football, no interceptions. So I think Cooper Rush has done a terrific job of protecting the football. That's just like anything in the NFL is all about turnovers. So if you can create turnovers defensively and protect the football offensively, it gives you such a higher percentage chance of winning the football game. I think it's going to come down to, honestly, who can run the football successfully. If the Cowboys have over 100 yards on the ground and take care of the ball, that's their recipe for winning this football game.
Nico, if you are the Dallas Cowboys and you're sitting there and Cooper Rush just went into Philadelphia and beat Philadelphia and Dak Prescott's ready to go against the Lions, but Cooper Rush is 6-0 as a starter, and I'm stirring the pot for controversy right now, clearly, what do you do with Dak Prescott? Do you hold him off? Do you bring him back? Do you say sit tight because you don't want to mess up what little bit of chemistry you got going?
Well, I think you got to look at yourself in the mirror and ask, was I a better football player and was I playing good in week one and week two when Dak was our quarterback, or did I step up my own personal performances across the board and help this team become a better football team? Because I think that after Dak went down, everyone else stepped up. And if they can continue to step up and play the way that they have been playing and you put Dak back in the game, I think they're a better football team. I mean, Dak, if you just look at sure athleticism, arm strength, everything that Dak brings to the table, it makes the Cowboys a better football team. I mean, there's a reason why Cooper Rush was a backup, and he is a backup. So when Dak is ready to go and his thumb is good, you put him back in the football game. You know, there's 126 million reasons why you paid him the money that you paid him. He's going to be your starting quarterback. Whenever he's healthy, he's going to get back into the roster and the lineup. But everyone else that's on this football team, they need to make sure that they play up to the same level that they had been playing when Cooper Rush was the quarterback.
Rob, we had a very, very exciting Thursday night football game last night. That's 2 weeks in a row now. I'm pretty sure you watched it. But I want to ask you about Justin Fields. What do you think?
No, I didn't. I fell asleep.
we don't blame you at all either. We wouldn't blame you. What do you think the ceiling is for Justin Fields?
Man, it's so tough. I think they put him in a bad spot considering he's attempted the least amount of throws and he gets hit the most in the NFL. I mean, that's just bad. Every single time he dropped back to throw, he hit the turf. And not only did he hit the turf, he was hurting. He was in pain. And, you know, I think I turned it off in like the end of the third quarter. I went to bed. I was too tired. I couldn't watch bad football. So, you know, I just before the half, he took a couple big shots. The touchdown throw where he threw a beautiful ball for a touchdown, he took a big shot. So they need to protect him. They need to put him in the right positions. I don't think that the offensive scheme fits his skill set. You know, if you were to put him, say, with the Ravens or a team that utilizes the quarterback's athleticism, that would be a far better situation than in Chicago where, you know, they're in the red zone looking to score goal to go. And they're trying to throw it through the offensive line. Use some misdirection. Use some gadgets. Use some dash pass, some roll pass, something where your quarterback is on the move, and let him use his athletic skill.
And yet, Nick,
Rob, what should Rob, what should they do this offseason, so to speak? Because I'm assuming they're going to have a very active and busy offseason based on the way they played last night to maximize the quarterback position. What should they do?
Well, I think they got to protect him, number one. So, you know, whatever they need to do to figure out as far as bringing in a free agent, you know, some type of guy in the offensive line that can lead and really bring people together. Maybe it's the coaching in the offensive line room, but you can't win if your quarterback is on the ground. Like, you just can't do it. So you have to protect the quarterback, number one. And on top of that, you got to have some type of dynamic play-calling ability. You just can't be stagnant in this league. If you look around the NFL, the best teams have the best play callers. You know, you look at Buffalo. You look at the Giants. They got a great play caller at head coach now. He's brought in some different pieces. So that whole scheme and team looks different. you know, what have the Rams done since they brought in a new head coach with an offensive mind? Look at Miami, the different types of plays that they have, you know, created this season with skill players and creative mind thinking. So I think they're going to have to do something, because I know the Chicago Bears fan base, they're sick of watching bad football.
That is Rob Ninkovich, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you, Rob.
All right, guys, have a great Friday.
Yes, likewise. Guys, after everything Ninko said, it's all true, and yet I'll remind people again, Justin Fields put the ball in the receiver's hands twice, in both their hands, twice.
Watching it right here,
at the very end of the game to win, and had either pass been held on to and they scored and not bobbled, the Bears would be 500 after 6 weeks without a team. He's got something. Coming up, more KJM.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.